Welcome to the Rooted Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Bethany Wild, and I'm an author and mother. Here we have conversations on sovereign and instinctual womanhood and motherhood, cultivating thriving wellness, and much more. Listen to powerful birth and healing stories and topics on the wild woman experience. You can check out all I offer, including herbal elixirs for wild mothers and women, my book on pelvic healing, and all the show notes for these episodes at bethanywild.com. Now for the show. Welcome, women, to the Rooted Woman Podcast. This week, I have Zoe on to share her gorgeous birth stories and her path from midwife in the system to leaving that through attuning to her own body and her instincts about what she was seeing and how it was not sitting well with her. And there's a lot of elements in this story that is just so beautiful, and I feel you're really going to enjoy this episode and just hear in Zoe's voice and her telling her just deep wisdom and connection to herself and her body, and just enthralled listening to her story when she was sharing it with me. I really felt from her that she has probably been a midwife, a wise woman for many lifetimes. And it just felt like there was just so much karma and dharma within so much of her story. So anyway, I don't want to completely give it away, but I'll just share my intro to this episode. So Zoe shares her dharma as a midwife, her experiences in midwifery, and the difficult witnessing and taking part in obstetric violence. After a divine accident and miracle healing, she shares what comes next for her, including her powerful and deeply intuitive birth stories. Zoe beautifully illustrates what is possible for women who seek to live an embodied, truthful, and spirit-led life. So you can find within the show notes Zoe's contact info. You want to reach out to her, you want to see what she's up to. I don't really have too much to share this week. I've just been immersed in the slowness of the season and setting a lot of intentions for the new solar year, releasing projects and things that are not serving me in this season, and trying to really focus on what I'm calling in and what we're calling in as a family. And of course, this podcast is definitely a part of that and a part of what I love to do and what I get excited about doing and sharing. And so anyway, there will be some great episodes coming up for the year. If you want to support this podcast, the easiest way to do that is to just share with a friend, leave a review. That helps reach more people, more women. And if you want to support my work in a financial way and you also want to benefit from it, I have an Etsy shop up for my herbal elixirs. I currently have a pre-postnatal herbal multivitamin elixir. It tastes amazing. Very potent, very high quality, very nourishing. And I put a lot of prayer and intention and ritual into each batch that I make. I think right now there's about 2 bottles left, and I have some more brewing that should be ready in, gosh, maybe a week or two after this episode airs. I am also about to release a matcha blend I will probably share more about in the intro to the next episode because it's not quite ready, but I'm getting very excited about releasing it and kind of just rounding out more of my offerings and sharing the herbs and products that I use, especially as I am seeking to quit coffee, and this blend has really supported me. I'll just leave it at that, that will be coming up in the new year, or maybe even at the end of this year. I'm not quite sure yet. But those are all the ways to support this podcast. If you're enjoying the kinds of conversations that I'm putting out, you want to help me continue to go for hopefully years to come. So I appreciate you all for being here and listening and being a part of my vision for a different kind of world that prioritizes mothers and children and families and women and sovereignty and all of the different things that the different themes that I bring into this podcast. I know all of you listening are contributing to that vision too in your own ways, and I'm just so grateful to all of you for being here and for listening and being a part of that. All right, so I'm just going to close up my intro here. And let's hear from Zoe with her beautiful birth and healing stories.
Of the earth weep together now, oh, wild sisters singing over the bones. Wild sisters of the earth weep together now, oh, wild sisters singing over the bones.
So when I was a little child, little Zoe, I was always so captured by the magic of pregnancy and birth and newborn babies and babies in general. I just felt so drawn to it. And it was like I already knew that it was my purpose or part of my purpose or passion in life. And yes, my first experience with birth was actually with sheep. My grandfather had a farm with sheep, and on an early morning at 4 a.m., he woke me up and we went to the sheep and supported them in their labor. And when I look back at it now, already I saw, well, then I didn't know, but now I see that already, like, the patriarchic society had influenced his way of supporting those sheep, because he would stick his hand inside of them, tuck on the feet, on the legs, and do all sorts of things. And there was already an early imprint that people are necessary. It is necessary to interfere with the integrity of the birth process. And yes, when I grew up, I had a tough time during puberty and finding my way in life, not feeling like I could truly be myself, and that my gifts were not very welcome in the world. So, for example, as a child, I had a great imagination, and I could fantasize all day. And at one point, my family was like, "Yes, no, you're old enough. People truly like believe what you say all the time, so you should stop." And yes, I had a couple of hits like that, where I was heartbroken, I feel. And then I had a choice if, yeah, if I would want to work with young babies or if I would want to work as a midwife. And I chose the path of a midwife. So I studied really hard to get in into the midwifery studies in Amsterdam in the Netherlands. And I got in, had amazing grades, and really felt like I had found my purpose. And yeah, somehow I found my worthiness by becoming a midwife. And this is kind of interesting because I was not aware of ego or of how I identified, of labels and everything. And that meant that I completely identified with becoming a midwife. It was my entire life. And I really wanted to be a good girl and yeah, change the world for women and do what society expected me to do by following the rules. And I truly believed that my interference and my expertise were absolutely necessary for a safe birth and pregnancy. And in the first year of my studies, I was part of a new curriculum where we immediately dove into pathology. So I actually did not learn that much about physiology because it was like, this is the easy topic, physiology. This is how it like normally works. And like, here are all the diseases and all the everything and the risk and how you need to assess those and monitor women and send them through. And in the olden days in the Netherlands, our country was known for a high level of home births. But during my studies already, it was changing rapidly. And now it has completely changed. The midwives are now all medical midwives. And I was witness to that. But because I was so conditioned to learn, conditioned in that I believe that we needed to interfere with birth for it to be safe, I did not see it yet. And then my second year of the studies came, and I did more internships also in the hospital, and I began to see disturbing things. And sometimes I would ask my supervisor, was this episiotomy really necessary? Because the evidence is saying that if someone has a short perineum, that it's not evident at all to cut them open. It's not saving any babies. And my doubts were dismissed. It was not right. I wasn't experienced at all. And they had a lot of experience. So they just knew and saw that woman had a too short of perineum and should be cut. And they truly believed that they helped that woman to not rupture until their rectum. But yeah, I felt really alone. And then also it started to really disturb me that the supervisors I was with, they were not asking for permission to touch. They were not asking permission to cut all the time or to do a vaginal exam. When I did a vaginal exam once on a woman who had a very tight vagina, in Dutch it's called vaginitis. It's a woman is oftentimes so traumatized that just it's so tight. And I would really take the time and to get in a conversation with the woman and practice touching. And then I would get the feedback that I was not practicing too, that I was practicing too slow. That was the feedback, that I should like speed up. And I just didn't understand. I was like, I was thinking that I was learning. I'm here to learn so much about supporting women, but I feel like I'm hurting women now. And there were so many experiences like that. Once a year later, I actually cut a woman open myself who did not need a cut, and I knew it. I tried to speak up, but my supervisor said, "You still need like 3 cuts to get your diploma, so just do it." And I knew somehow also that if I wouldn't cut her, she probably would. And I thought maybe I could cut her a little bit shorter than my supervisor would. So I did it. But up until now, I sometimes have nightmares about that. I truly was part of so much obstetric violence. And also, yeah, I was part of it, witness of it. But also I did some stuff myself that I'm not proud of. And I see it like I was part of a cult. I felt like there was no way out. I felt like if I would speak up, it would make no difference, or I would get in trouble. And that makes that I really feel compassionate for the people who are working inside of the medical system. And fortunately, there are some gems who are really trying to do it differently, but those are very exceptional, I feel. But most of the people working there, I feel like I don't even know how much damage they are doing, not only physical, but mentally and energetically, spiritually. Women come out of medical birth and also home birth with some medical midwives. They come out broken. And I was witness of it so, so many times. And then in the final year, well, at this time already, my body was sending me some signals that I really needed to listen to my boundaries more. So I was having panic attacks, nightmares. So much trauma came up. And in the final year of my studies, I only had to do like 3 months of internship before I would get my diploma. I was surfing in the sea and I was struck by Mother Ocean. There were very big waves and I was swallowed up by a wave with my surfboard. I had a big longboard with one big single fin at the end, and the big single fin hit me right in the middle of my pelvis. And whoa, it changed my life. I truly feel that Mother Ocean woke me up right there and then. I still had to go through a long process of healing before I would truly understand what a gift it was. But at that time, my world shattered. I just beside my clitoris, I had a rupture had a stitch there. It had it stitched. The muscle in my leg was ruptured and my sitting bone was really hit hard, which meant that I could not sit up like at all. It would hurt so much. And I felt so much pressure to heal as fast as possible because I only had to do those 3 months more of internship. And I felt like I really need to finish this so I can become like more holistic and more like a natural midwife and make a difference. But I did not heal at that time. My skin healed, but the pain got worse and worse and worse. At one point, I was at the emergency doctor's office at the middle of the night because I had the worst pain attacks and they would not stop. So they gave me morphine. I went into the medical path as well with that injury. And at one point, I think it was after 7 or 8 months of healing, they diagnosed me with chronic nerve pain, which could only be healed by cutting the nerves to my yoni, my vagina, my pelvis, or through a very long process of physiotherapy and other kinds of therapy. And at that point, I knew something had to change. I sought healing outside of myself in so many ways. I went to all the alternative medicine people I knew, trying to heal, but it did not work. The pain got worse and worse. And at one point, I think it was 9 months after the accident, like the duration of an entire pregnancy, I felt like I do not want to live like this anymore. If it has to be this way, then no. And it really, I had an epiphany that, whoa, if this is so big that I want to give up life, then I really need to do something right now. I knew I had to listen to my boundaries. So I made the decision to quit my midwifery studies. Some people in my surroundings, they were hoping that if I would heal after, that I would finish it. Anyway, but I knew I was walking away forever. And already 3 weeks after I quit my studies, I started to feel some moments of zero pain. I hadn't felt that in all those months after the accident. And I was like, whoa, something is really shifting. And I got so excited and I quit every healing strategy I was trying outside of myself. So with healers, I quit it all. And I tried to have fun again in my life. I started making some art. I started to write again. And it was also a big period of grief because becoming a midwife was my entire life. And I thought I was earning my worth in society by becoming a midwife and serving women and the system, although I did not see it that way at that time yet. And I think my ego died. It felt like my identity died. I did not know who I was. I lost a lot of people in my life at that time. Fortunately, there were a couple of good friends and family who stuck with me. But it was a big period of grief. And then already 3 months after that, I surprisingly got pregnant. Pregnant with twins. And one of them was my daughter Luna, and her sibling passed away in the first trimester, so I miscarried her twin sibling. And it was also, wow, it was such a deep process. First of all, to accept this new phase of life, and it was nothing like I expected or wanted it to be or imagined it to be. I did not have a career or a big income. I did not finish any studies. And yes, already we were having children and yeah, one full grown child. And I thought I had also like rested enough because for those nine months I laid down all the time, could barely walk. But again, because I was miscarrying the sibling of my daughter Luna, my body was bleeding and doing it as soft as possible to maintain Luna, and I had to rest. So for the entire first month of the pregnancy, I rested and rested and rested some more. And we were living near the ocean at that time in a little summer house in the dunes in the north, northwest of the Netherlands. And when I looked out my window, I was in nature. And that really, really helped me to turn inside, to ground, to get out of my head and into my body. And for the first time since my childhood, I was exploring my body and my intuition. And I was losing a child. And very happy that Luna was sticking around. It seemed that she was sticking around. But I think until 30 weeks of pregnancy, I had to take it easy because of the blood loss in the first trimester and also a little bit of blood loss in the second trimester. My womb was really, well, she was talking to me in a very clear way. And I started to notice that if I took a moment while I was brushing my teeth or something, and I would ask my baby and my womb what they needed, I would always get an answer. It was like an image or a word that would pop up, or a bird that would suddenly fly in front of me, and I would get like a feeling inside, a sort of a message. Sometimes I would not understand it with my mind, but I always understood the message with my heart, and I felt so guided. Yeah, by my baby, my body, my intuition, my guides. And yeah, this was a wonderful transition. And during the pregnancy actually, I did have a midwife. I regularly went to a midwife practice. I believe they were more of the natural midwives, but deep down I was feeling that something was wrong. I would discuss it with my husband, and always he would try to like soothe my feelings, like it's all okay and blah blah blah. You probably know that's our deep inner knowing sometimes gets like dismissed so easily. So every time I try to tell myself positive affirmations and to rewrite my unconsciousness, but totally not listening to the deep knowing that knew that those women were not meant to guide me. They were going to disturb my birth bubble. And the more I got to like the final weeks of pregnancy, the more it disturbed me. It became so big for me. Big fears came up. And at one point, I think I was 37 weeks and 4 days or 3 days, I decided, my husband was at work. I decided I had to call my midwife and confront her with my fears and see how she would react. So I did. And I again talked about my birth plan and things that were important to me. For example, I wanted to be free during the pushing phase. I didn't want anyone to be in the birth tub all the time with the Doppler, listening to the heartbeat and stressing me out. No, I wanted to be free and for the hands to be out of the water. And during our previous talks, it was all okay. Like, yes, we are here to listen to your wishes and everything. It's all okay. And then at that phone call, suddenly it was not okay. They said, we don't work like that, Zoe. And wow, it was like a lightning struck. Whoa, it was so big for me because I could already like birth at any moment. And I just knew that I had to fire them. So I fired them. And that this was in the beginning time of the virus. And one friend of mine who was also a midwife, she was going to be on her honeymoon on the other side of the world. But now because of the virus, she was at home. So I just somehow let my body took over, and my body started dialing her number, and I called her up in tears and asking if she could help us in some way, because I knew that I was not completely ready for a free birth. I still had so much layers of how I was conditioned, so much layers of fear, imprints, and also my husband had them. So I knew I needed some kind of guidance. I needed someone to be there. And fortunately, she understood me completely, and she attended our birth. And actually, like the next day, my contractions started in the early morning. I believe that I told my baby, my Luna, like, it's okay now, darling. Now it's safe. You can come. And the next morning, I woke up to the 4 a.m. peeing festivity. I went to a very cold toilet. It was March at that time. And when I came back, I snuggled in bed, like shivering from the cold. And then my first surges started. And I woke up my husband, Vladimir, and told him, like, ooh, maybe it's starting. And I said, yeah, well, maybe just go back to sleep. So tried to get back to sleep. And yes, it started becoming more regularly in the morning, and we started our day trying to stay relaxed. We let our friend, the midwife friend, know that things had started. And at one point, I just felt like, oh, I need to clean the house, and everywhere was sand and stuff. And so I would get in a little bit of a cleaning mode, and I would notice that the surges were getting less and less frequent. So at one point, I suggested that we would take a nap in bed together. And so I took a nap together with my husband, and we cuddled, and actually we made love. And it felt so right. It felt so good. And as we were making love together, boom, the surges, they became super frequent again, and coming every few minutes. And I knew, okay, this is probably it. And took a shower. And for my husband, he had been, he had been holding his tears back for months at that time. And when I was in the shower, I started singing songs to my baby to comfort her. I didn't know if she was a boy or a girl. I just started singing to her, and I heard a weird noise. And I was like, babe, are you okay? And he was like bawling. Oh, such a big emotional release for him. And I was so in power. Like, I felt so, so sovereign, so in power, I felt like I was surrendering to my body and really connecting to my baby, and I felt so powerful. And it was so good that my husband released his emotions, because I really felt that it could have been a disturbance in the birthing space if he would have held them like inside. So his heart was open and we could really connect together. And at one point our friendly midwife came, and the bathtub was full and I couldn't wait to get in. I got in quite early. It was my first birth. I did not know how intense birth would get, and I already found it kind of intense. So she was like, okay, you can get in. When I look back now, I'm like, did I ask permission to get in the birth tub? Really insightful that this happens when like an expert is in your room, then you start doubting yourself and start asking for like permission to push or to move in the birth tub or do something else. So in hindsight, that was really an important lesson for me. But at that time, good. I went in, had a beautiful time with my husband. He would rub my back and he would massage my nipples and would like cup my yoni in the way that is sometimes done also with integral pelvic therapy, like where you hold the yoni, the perineum. And it really helped me to ground and get down. It was really, really beautiful. And then at one point, I started to feel the urge to push. And it was not that my body was pushing. I started to feel the urge to push. And I, with my head, would like think, oh, it's time to push now. So I pushed a little bit with my body. And then the midwife suggested to do a vaginal exam, and I said okay. So she did a vaginal exam, and I was still like 4 or 5 centimeters open. And fortunately, she had a lot of trust in my body, so she was like, "This is okay, just go on, maybe get out of the birth tub." And but it was, oh, I had been going all day and I felt those like pushing sensations. I was like, oh, please let this be it. I was so tired. And yeah, that was really hard mentally. I'm curious what would have happened if I would not have had a vaginal exam. If, yeah, maybe I could have connected more with my body and sensed that it were just sensations of my baby maybe wanting to turn and that giving the pushing sensations. But yeah, I feel also very compassionate for myself as well. I was doing amazing and just wanting somebody to help me, to support me. And so I went out of the birth tub, tried to lay in bed on my side. Well, those were the two most intense contractions I have ever felt. It was horror. It was so bad that I at one point jumped out of the bed and ran downstairs and jumped into the birth tub. And I was like, F this. I really need the water. But because I had moved around and I got a bit cold outside of birth tub, when I got in again, the water helped me to relax. So it was still very intense, but I knew I had to go a while. I had to surrender more. So I said no to my husband to get in the birth tub. No, I had to do this alone. So I just put the midwife and my husband in the kitchen a few meters away from the birth tub, and I sat with my back towards them to just really get into my own flow. I started to like move in a froggy kind of way, in a squatting position, and move with the water and dance with the water. And then I remembered what I had practiced during my pregnancy, because during my pregnancy, every night I would take a shower put on some nice music and I would sway and move my body intuitively. And because I started doing that again, I remembered. And it was like I surrendered to my intuitive flow, and I would get in a trance, and I was not aware of time anymore. I didn't know what's my husband and my wife were talking about anymore. I really went inside. And then at one point I asked my midwife to check the heartbeat. I just felt like I needed some reassurance that my baby was okay. And but I knew it was okay. And then I remember the very intense contractions where I felt like I truly was in a labyrinth, or like I had to really find my way through the gate, the portal to becoming a mother, to really surrender to the fullest, because I still hold on to some stuff. I wanted to listen to the heartbeat of my baby also, for example. I had to truly surrender. And so I started to make a lot of sounds. At first, I would make the sound, nah, nah, with the hmm. But I felt this is not working in favor for me. I have to say yes. And in Dutch, yes is ja. So I started to say ja, ja. And wow, this was the key for me, because it was not only that I was surrendering to the sensations, I was actually welcoming them. Because I was starting to say yes to them. I was saying, yes, come on, come on, get more intense. Yes, yes, yes. And it also got like a bit orgasmic. I got some orgasmic feelings at that point. Because I think it was in relation to the saying yes to the sensations. And then my body took over and my body pushed out my baby. I remember putting my hand on my yoni and just letting my body do the work. And I just opened my throat. I completely surrendered in that way as well. And I roared my baby out, and slowly and steadily I would feel her head in my hand. And at one point her head was born, and then I felt the most wow amazing feeling, because I felt my baby turning inside of me to birth the rest of her body. And that feeling of my baby turning and my womb and my pelvis like guiding her, that was such a blissful moment. I remember it so well. And then with my next surge, she was born into my hands. I said, welcome, darling. Welcome, darling. You're here. And I remember that she did not start crying right away. She needed some time, but I knew she looked right into my eyes and I saw that she was okay. She was doing amazing. And the midwife wanted to come and rub her with the towels, and I just pushed her away and took the towel myself. And wow, I was so mama bear at that moment. And it was she went through the portal of my yoni and from the other realm onto earth, and I also went through the portal into motherhood, and it changed me forever. Yeah. It was such a big rebuild of my trust. I knew that everything I was taught was a lie. Everything that I doubted was true. And I was so, So I felt amazing. I was so proud of my body and my baby. And then it was time to birth her placenta. And I remember that the surges felt quite painful, much more than I expected it to be. So I really had to breathe, and I actually talked to my placenta. I said, like, you can come to Earth now, feel welcome. And then at one point, with some pushes, which my body led again, she was doing it, I welcomed the placenta and I blessed her as well with some words. I don't know what the words were, but it was beautiful. And I remember holding my baby onto my chest and her placenta in a bowl next to her. And I felt so much gratitude for the organ of my baby. And also maybe that the placenta was a part of my other sibling. But it all felt right. And we chose to leave the umbilical cord intact. And we wrapped the placenta up near my baby. And the next day we used some flowers and some Himalayan salt to help the placenta dry a little bit. And then after 3 days, the umbilical cord, my baby let it loose. It unattached itself. And it felt so natural. It felt so natural. I was actually, I could not understand how I could have cut so many umbilical cords and also so soon after the birth. It was so confronting in some way as well, because I had been part of this abuse. And I remember that in the middle of the night I would say, like, sorry to all those babies and mothers who, like, thanked me for helping them during their birthing experience. And I just felt like the mistreatment that I did. Phew, that was a really big one. So my birth experience was so healing. And at the same time, I felt so much grief for all those women I guided as a medical midwife student. And then I decided, it was, I think, 2 or 3 months after the birth of my baby, that I should write a book. And I should write a book about my experience in awakening my intuition. And I remember every day I would walk in the dunes with my baby. So her long afternoon nap, I would walk every day in the dunes, even when I was extremely tired. It was like meditating for me. It was so helpful for my health. When it was warm enough, I would also walk bare feet, which would help me even more. It was like I could surrender my tiredness, all my sensations, all my feelings, also of this transition to motherhood. I could surrender it into nature, into the arms of Mother Earth. And I did not speak to a lot of people in that time. We were still in the virus time, and I was in a bubble, and I really truly felt like I had a friend inside and outside of me, nature. And when I would walk there, the information would come through. Like I had my own experience, yes, but also there was ancient wisdom that was coming through me. And then when I would come home, I would start writing right away. Or in the morning, if my husband would still be home, I would start a day with writing for an hour. And yeah, in a few months, I wrote the first manuscript of my book. I did not publish it because I knew that my story was not finished yet. There was something that was to come that still needed to be integrated in there. But it was a message of reclaiming your power by awakening your intuition, by surrendering to your intuition, by unlayering all the veils we were given by society, by our own birth experience, and by our childhood. And the book was sort of a guide with practices and exercises and my own experience in how I got to become familiar with my intuition again, that inner well of wisdom, that divine wisdom, embodied wisdom. And now it's becoming another version because I'm incorporating so much more of the story that I'm telling right now. At that time, I was still afraid to share the truth about my experience of the midwifery studies and everything around that, because, and that's why I compare it with a cult experience, because I was still afraid of them coming to get me or something. The fears were deeply embedded in me. And only now, like after birthing my second child, it is changing. I feel like it's important for me to speak my truth. And also I did some work on healing my witch wound also, because I think some part of me is so afraid to get burnt when I tell the truth about all this. And well, the journey of parenting, in the journey of parenting, I would get in touch with my intuition every day. When my baby would have a fever, I would be fearful and Google some stuff at first, but then I was like, oh no, wait. Let's look at my baby. Let's communicate with her heart to heart. Let's ground myself. Let's feel my sacral space. Let's feel my womb, feel my feet, feel the earth, and ask for guidance. And then I only had to surrender to my body, because then I would just notice that I would unclothe myself and my baby and would get her on my skin. And then I would just know what she needed, or some herb what would help her, or most of the time it was just my body would provide her medicine through my milk, my golden nectar. And yes, it was also a challenging journey with my first baby transitioning to becoming a mother, and also in this trusting my intuition and my body. Because the midwifery, all the things I learned during that study, the conditioning had influenced my entire being. And it was also influencing the way I was mothering my baby. And it was really helpful to become aware of this, to become aware of, like, where is this fear coming from? For example, my baby would wake up a lot of times during the night. And then I just thought that baby should like sleep through the night in a couple of months. And I was like, why is my baby not sleeping through the night? And my first initial reaction would always be that something was broken, that something was wrong with her, because that was the way I was taught to see it. When something comes up, immediately see that it's risky or something is broken, instead of seeing that it might be a signal, maybe she needs something. But it's also super normal. And when I would relax into that, yeah, I think I really learned in her first year to relax more, to ground myself first, and then she would follow. To when she was afraid or she felt tension or anything, she was a very sensitive baby, she would cry and cry, and then I was like, oh, something is wrong. And at some point I just remembered, all right, let's breathe, let's ground myself. And she would calm down as well. And I read some articles on attachment parenting, and also that really supported my mind in this process, which is, it's all connected, of course. So that was really helpful for me to feel that it was okay to let my baby sleep in bed with me. It was okay to wear her in a wrap with all her naps during the day. I started to release guilt, and yeah, it was really helpful for me. And yeah, I think around when my baby was around a year or so, I would feel connection with a new spirit baby. And I can be kind of impatient. So I was like, oh my goodness, this baby really wants to come right now. We need to get ready, but I didn't feel ready at all. And yeah, went a little bit into a journey of conscious conception. And our first time with Luna and her twin sibling who left us, that was a surprise. So now it was the first time to get into more conscious way of conceiving. And the interesting thing is I try to do like practices, to do yoga to receive a baby for conception, to meditate in some way, to do guided meditations to get in touch with my spirit baby. But it just blurred my vision. It did not help me. It was not me becoming silent and getting inside myself. No, I was trying to do things to do it good. In this way of conceiving, and we were not conceiving for a few months. It was only a few months, but it felt like a long time. And then at one point I became pregnant, and I was so, so happy. And then at, I think, 6 weeks of pregnancy, I woke up one morning and bled a lot. It was really a scare because my daughter was also there, and I just ran to the bathroom, and my husband was almost out of the door to his work. Yeah, that was an interesting experience. And it brought so much back from my first miscarriage. So much, grief and, some kind of trauma, I think, as well. And yeah, I really tried to surrender again to my body, and she did amazing. It fortunately was a very smooth miscarriage. And I remembered I did feel quite alone in this process. I felt like my husband was not attached very much yet to this baby. And I did feel so much connection already in those first few weeks. And yeah, I really had to grieve. And after that miscarriage, we stopped trying for a bit, and also went through a difficult period in our relationship. Yeah, it was like another deeper initiation in parenthood, or a new rebirth as well for both of us. And we were having a hard time to connect in this process, in this transition. We went through a hard time. But we got through, and yeah, really, really dreamt our future again together and connected more with our hearts again. And we would also, we talked more about the miscarriage, and yes, he found it hard to talk about it, and I always wanted to talk about it, so that was sometimes hard, but it really helped to hear both of our stories. And yeah, we took some time to reconnect, and then when we felt good again together, and we actually did not start trying to conceive very in a very conscious way. I did was not doing the meditations and everything. I just felt like, no, I really have to just wait the divine timing. And then at one point, it was just before the winter solstice, we went to surf in the sea and sat by the fire. It was a very, very cold day. And when we came home, we were sitting together and we were like, is now the time to welcome our baby? And we both felt such a big yes. And yeah, we took the time to make love. And I know that was the moment that our son Gosha came into my body. And it was so much more natural and more in trust with natural timing and not thinking about it so much. So I really feel that it helped me to get out of my head again and really get into my body more and trust that wisdom that is there. And then when I conceived him, I immediately knew that this was going to be a wild pregnancy. I was not going to let anyone interfere with my ability to read the messages of my baby and my body. I was not going to deal with anyone else's fears or projections or conditioning, ways of conditioning. And fortunately, my husband was so supportive. He just felt so much trust in my body. I remember how he looked at me with the first birth, like, wow, she's like a goddess. And that really helped us in this process. I think for him also to surrender to my intuition, to my inner knowing. And it was so relaxed. It was just so relaxed. It was just such a normal pregnancy. So yes, fears would come up. Yes, things would come up, but it was not my intention to have I had to have an entirely wild pregnancy. No, I was open to anything. And I chose to make my decisions only in the moment. Every moment I would connect with my body, I would try to ask her what she needed, try to ask my baby what he needed. And it was just so clear for me that this was the path. No tests, no midwives, no. And this was just integrating the things that I already had learned. It was really like letting the trust blossom. It was like letting my yeah, my intuition, my natural being, like be born again in this experience. And also my baby was very grounded, very connected to earth. I felt he was very experienced. He knew exactly what he needed and he would communicate it in a very clear way, different than my daughter. It was sometimes he would not communicate so much with words. He would communicate very much through birds and bees. Yeah, maybe that sounds crazy, but I just always got the message when a bee would turn up and I would say, hey, and I would try to become still and just receive. And that pregnancy with him, with Gosha, it's, I did not know so much with my mind. I really surrendered to the knowing with my heart. And it truly felt like this knowing was limitless. And I felt so powerful. I felt so powerful. And during his pregnancy, I created a lot of art. And during the pregnancy, I knew that I did not want to do any birth work at that time. I really had to let go all my expectations of the future again. Because after the birth of Luna, I started to like write a book and coach some women and guide some women during their pregnancies. And yeah, I was really finding my way again. But now I was pregnant with him and I felt no. So I was like, what is happening? And I really had to surrender again to the moment. And in that moment, I just needed to be in my bubble and see what the future would bring. And at one point we went to Cornwall, and first in England, and first we made a stop at Glastonbury, and there is a holy well, Chalice Well it's called, which the folklore says that it's the divine holy waters of Avalon. And we went there, and I knew that the baby in my belly, I was around 30 weeks pregnant at that time, was so connected to this. And I also received messages there from, yeah, the spirits that were there. It was important for me to be there. And at one point, it was like, all right, again, a spirit of the moment idea. We went to a stone circle, and apparently the stone circle was connected with all stars and in the cosmos with the summer solstice. And we came there, and there was like an entire ceremony at that place because, yeah, apparently it was a very special moment to be there. And it was, I came there and they were worshiping the mother goddess and the fruitfulness of the summer season. And I came there with my hand-framed drum to drum at the circle, and I was received like a goddess because they were worshiping the great mother goddess, and I came there with my big belly. And so, yeah, somehow it felt like a blessing. Yeah, it was a real moment of blessing. I did not experience like a sister circle blessing during my pregnancy, so I was very, very thankful for that magic moment, that magical day. Yes, in Cornwall at that time was really special. And I received some messages there, and those really helped me in the last trimester, really helped me in the last phase of pregnancy, and prepared me for birth. And the birth of Gosha, it started already around 35 weeks of pregnancy. So my first was born around at 37 weeks and 5 days, and the contraction started at 35 weeks. So I was like, well, maybe he's coming. I knew everything was okay. So we set up the pool and yes, waited. And then the contraction stopped. The surges stopped. So I went to sleep and I had two more of those nights when we thought that it's probably was starting. And with Luna, I did not have like early contractions or anything. So it was just like the start, and then in the evening she was born. So it was very weird to me that now I would have these start stop contractions and having them every day and night, and then some days not. It was really a challenge for me to surrender to that and to trust the timing of my baby, and to keep trusting my intuition. And I would get a big okay every time I connected with my body, but sometimes my fears would get in. And then 4 weeks later, at 39 weeks, I woke up and I could sleep in. So my husband and daughter, they were going to the swimming pool. And so I turned around and snuggled again to have some more hours of sleep after a tough night. And then I felt a big plop, and I heard it as well. And then I was like, whoa, are these the waters opening? With Luna, the waters opened right before I pushed her out. So at the very end of birth. And now it was, in the morning when everything was calm. So I quickly shouted to my husband, wait, don't go to the swimming pool yet. So he came upstairs, and a little over 1 hour later, Gosha was born. Yeah, it was really so quickly. My daughter was picked up by my mom. I was hoping she would be there, but when I felt the surges, I just knew I need to put all my attention inside, inwards, and it's better for her to be with my mom. When my mother picked her up, I had such a big emotional release, because I was saying goodbye to my one-on-one time with her. It was like I was saying goodbye to our first years together of her life. And I had to let her go. She was not my baby anymore. And it was really needed for me to have that big emotional release, to also open myself up again for now a new child, to be fully open and welcoming to them. And yes, but this was big. This was really big. And also because I was not working like regularly in her first year after birth, I was always there. We had such a strong connection. Yeah, we slept together always. We were still sleeping together at that time during pregnancy. And yeah, it was a big release. And then after she left with my mom, yes, then he was coming. So when my daughter left and I had the emotional release, I just ran downstairs to the birthing pool, and there were only a few inches of water in the birthing pool, but I just jumped in, and it was already feeling very intense. And I remember I was saying to my husband, he was still setting up everything, I was saying to him like, whoa, we are just at the beginning of this birth, but it's already feels so intense. Whoa, I just really need to surrender to the fact that this can still take a long time. Whoa. And then I told my husband, please come and press my back, my lower back. So he came to sit beside me. But yeah, it was like under an hour still. So we thought we have a lot of time to go. So he was still busy with stuff. At one point I said, you really need to sit here now. Ground yourself and stay here. And And then I already felt the urge to push, and I fully surrendered. I got so much energy from that. I had a good, quite okay night of sleep. And I was like, oh my goodness, you are coming. And I was roaring, and my husband was rubbing my back, and he would massage my nipples, and I was really getting into the yes sound again. And then he was coming more down into my yoni, and then he was already crowning, and then something happened. He was already crowning, and then in between surges, he just moved back into my body completely. So he went up the entire distance, and he he went all the way up to into the top of my pelvis again, and he turned and turned, and I felt his legs and kicking and stuff, and then he was down immediately with the next contraction, and he was born. It was so so powerful. But at that moment, I was so scared for a few seconds when he moved up, because it was a really unfamiliar sensation. But then I felt him move. I felt his strong movement, and I knew you know precisely what you were doing. And then I felt I could surrender again into the trust. And then he was born, and he cried immediately, and I was so ecstatic. I made a little video, we made a little video of me during the birth, and I just hear myself like, oh yes, ah! all the ecstatic sounds and welcoming him, so so special. And yes, then we realized that the birth went so fast, and it was almost like it was just part of a normal day, even though it felt, of course, amazing, and it was so beautiful, but it also was just so normal. I birthed a placenta easily. I did a little bit of traction on the cord, but I felt that it was loose, and it just guided it in that way into my hands. And it was so smooth, and I just moved over to our couch, and I breastfed him in the inside of the tub, I think, first, but just relaxed. And we called up my mom to tell Luna, our daughter, that her brother was born. She came home, and that was so special. It was amazing to see those two meet each other outside of the womb. She was so caring and stroking his little hair, his little head, and saying, hey, Gosha. And oh, it was so special to see. She was so happy. And then after that, it was quite a journey for me, quite an intense journey to grieve over the fact that I now had to divide my attention to two children. Somehow that really was a big, big struggle for me. Because my daughter Luna was really needing some time to accept this new change in her life. And although she loved him so much, she was just missing me so much. And yeah, it was quite a journey. It took me a few months to really find my way in this feeling of having to divide my attention, and sometimes not being able to give everyone what they want, and also the challenge of really taking care of myself, still today, it's a really big challenge. Because yeah, two children are, I feel a lot of work, and yeah, we don't have a big village around ourselves to take the little bit older child and play with them all day. No, that's not the case. Just so much burden on me as a mother. And in the first year after the birth of Gosha, my husband was working a lot, and I did not work at all. So yeah, so much, yeah, work was for me, and all the nights were for me. And yes.
How old are they now?
Well, Luna is now 3.5 years old, and Gosha is now 1 year old, almost 1.5 years old.
Yeah. Still in the process of integrating and figuring out how to do it all.
Yes.
Mostly solo. Yeah.
Yes. And now I have been, I am beginning again to serve women, and now as a birth keeper. But it's moving so fast. So many women are coming to me and contacting me.
Really?
And yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing, of course. And also, I still really need to find my way. We need to find our way with these young children. And
yeah. How do you envision yourself as a birth keeper and attending births with your two little ones? Do you have your mom to watch them as needed, or how do you envision this for yourself?
My mom is actually going now through a chemo and radiation treatment, so she's not really available at the moment. But fortunately, the mother of my husband is very much involved. She works herself also, so that's kind of a challenge. But yeah, we will find our way, I think.
Yeah. I'm sorry about your mom. Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I've been kind of speechless throughout your whole story. It's so beautiful. Like, there's so many. Yeah, I don't even have a good reflection. It's just, I've been so moved by your stories, and really feel from you that authentic midwife, wise woman energy. Yeah, I mean, there's so many like miracles and healing and beauty in your story. So I don't even have like a great reflection. I'm just so honored that you were, that you wanted to share it with us and me. Yeah, I'm so looking forward to reading your book when you feel like it's the right time and you have integrated all the pieces. It's so hard to get. Yeah, I have so many parallels too to your story, because I wrote my book too, and my daughter was like, there's such a surge of energy that comes. But I can also see the second one and your mothering full time, beyond full time. It's like, there's just not a lot of time. Everything moves at such a slow pace. Yeah. And it's just the season that you're in. You know, you have to like sit with all of this bursting inside of you that can only come out in little trickles. It can be a little frustrating.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But you have such powerful stories to hold on to when. Yeah, that are obviously carrying you through and giving you so much strength in your mothering.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And also now in my work as a birth keeper, I also really feel that I really am aware of some very important things, which really helps in supporting women and families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about as far as like not intervening, or maybe like the spiritual aspects of support, or all of that, or anything in particular. that you're bringing in?
Yes. So, for example, I really try to become aware with them of their fears and their ways of how they were conditioned. Because I just feel like it comes up during the process. And it's really so powerful to take the lead in that and really become aware of what traumas are inside of me, what fears are inside of me, and where are they coming from? Who are they coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And to really help them, or yeah, help them see what they already know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Dr. Morningstar who said that there's just this huge current of fear that all pregnant women must contend with, and I see it like that ocean, like this current that we have to really work hard to step outside of that wave, because it's so powerful and so easy in those times. But it's like, once we do move ourselves outside and free ourselves, we just remember that we do have so much more open to us, like all of these limitless answers, as you say, and instincts that can guide us. So I also wanted to ask too about your injury. So it sounds like as soon as you got pregnant, the pain just went away. That is so incredible. It's like as soon as you started honoring, you know, what your body was really telling you, that was what it needed to go away. That is so powerful. Yeah. My husband deals with a lot of chronic pain. And so I've heard a lot about how it's almost always, or maybe always, connected with some kind of trauma and not listening to the body. And it's so beyond like all of these physical modalities and all of these things that people tend to just cycle through, and it doesn't do anything. So I think that's so interesting that the answer can be so spiritual.
Yes.
Yeah, what a testament.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I think it also had to do with when I really accepted the pain of the injury, when I welcomed it as some kind of message, as some kind of wisdom, and I allowed it to be there. It was then when I got more messages or more insights, more acceptance of the pain, and I healed. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. I just love your stories. I've been like so moved and enthralled by them this whole time. And I didn't want to interrupt your flow because you were just, yeah, I just love them.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for reaching out and wanting to share.
Thank you so much for having me.
So if you'll send me, for everyone listening, I'll put in the show notes the links for ways to reach out to you. Maybe you can just share really briefly the current offerings you have, and maybe any info about your book, if you're ready to share anything about that.
I'm a birth keeper. I serve families in real life, before pregnancy, during birth, and after birth. I also offer online guidance, and that could be like for any phase you are going through in the year of receiving new life, of giving birth, and everything around that. So I have a website which is coming out like next week, which is birthsong.nl, from the Netherlands. And my Instagram page is birth.song. And yeah, so my name is Zoe Jade, and I live in the Netherlands.
Thank you, Zoe. Thank you for listening and being here. If you enjoyed this episode, I would love to have you share it with a friend and review this podcast. It really helps to have more women find these conversations. You can check out all I offer, including herbal elixirs for wild mothers and women, my book on pelvic healing, and show notes for these episodes at bethanywild.com. Together now, wild sisters singing over the bones. Wild sisters of the earth, weep together now. Wild sisters singing over the bones.
Love.